Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. By the way, Mike Bazzelli.
By the way.
Welcome back to Berg Vivant. You have seen By the Way Meet Vera Stark.
By the way, meet Vera Stark.
At the Pittsburgh Playhouse. How was she?
Vera Stark's doing lovely.
Did you find her to be lovely and cordial and exquisite? And
yes. Actually, Vera Stark and the play, By the Way, Vera Stark, By the Way, Meet Vera Stark, is exquisite and lovely.
Oh. Well,
yes.
Good.
No, I have high praise for Maria Bacotes-Bay, who played the part of... Wait a minute. I'm going to say that again.
Vera Stark.
Yes, Vera Stark. No, I was going to say, I said, by the way, she was. By the way.
This is going to be a running gag, isn't
sorry,
it? We're not going to get enough, by the way.
By the way. No, but Vera Stark was played by Marie Bacotes-Bay. I have to say, the first half of this play is a madcap, crazy comedy. She, Marie Bacotes-Bay, and her accomplice Lottie, played by Bria Walker, do this madcap Lucy and Ethel type thing that is there. Is the final scene of the first act. I never laughed so hard in my entire life.
I know.
High praise. Coming back from intermission, it's a different sort of play. It's sort of a different, it goes in a different time.
Act two takes a different tone.
Different time, place, and setting. Fun. Mm. But honestly, God, Act One is the funniest thing I've ever seen in a theater.
Wow. And it is a spoof on Hollywood.
Yes, 1930s. Correct? The first act is a spoof on 1930s Hollywood. Vera Stark is a black woman, actually called a Negro in the show because at the time, that would be the word that they would have used. So she's going after the part of the slave girl, which was unfortunately some of the only parts for
for
African Americans in the 30s. She was going after the, you know, the mammy type role. Scarf, kerchief on her head, and running around going...
By the way, Hattie McDaniel.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
My favorite part of Gone with the Wind.
Yes. Yeah,
Actually, another one of my favorites in that period was Louise Beavers in Imitation of Life.
Oh, right.
There were two versions. I like the Claudette Colbert.
Oh, the Claudette Colbert. Yes, that's with the Beavers. I'm sorry. That's the one with... What's her name?
Louise
Beavers. Yes. I'm like, the Beavers. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of women in that show. Anyway, Maria Bacotes-Bay. Great, excellent performance in both halves. She gives a fantastic performance.
Get some on your...
Oh my, that's good gin. Anyway,
this is why we rarely see you out of doors.
But excellent performance. The entire cast, it very good job. Jeff Howell plays two different parts, and he's a howl. He made me laugh a lot. I've seen him a couple of times. He's a great guy. He did a fantastic job. He plays a character in the second act. It's kind of like a Mike Douglas 1970s talk show host guy.
I could get into that.
He was really... Oh, yeah, talk show host guy. I just got that.
I'm available for parties, luncheons, bar mitzvahs.
Luncheons, exactly.
Bergvivant.com, you can get in touch
with me. Right, so the second half is more of an exploration of 1930s Hollywood. It starts to comment on itself. And it's humorous and interesting and thought-provoking, but it's a different sort of play in the second half. And it's enjoyable, but I'm telling you, that first half, you should just go see that first half.
I mean, and this is something you and I remember very well. I mean, being ourselves stock players in the studios in the 30s, you know, we know how it was. And you remember, Jack Warner, who I was having an affair with at the time,
of course,
said, not only will I never work in this town again, but he said, you'll never work in this country again.
And that's why we had to do stuff in Germany.
Look at me now. Those German snuff films.
Those German snuff films.
But it was the war, darling. You remember the war. It was in all the papers. So, you know, but it's a tough time. And I think to see it spoofed
is going to be very fun. And it is spoofed, but it also has a dramatic treatise of...
Okay, so it's not a complete satire.
Right. It is a satire, and there are... Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's a comment on a comment of itself, because...
Oh, this is...
That's it becomes like really meta, because it's like you're in a present-day lecture, and they're watching in 1973 clips of the television show that she's on, where she is now... 60, 70 years old, but doing Vegas and being all.
Is that what we have to look forward to?
Yeah. I already got my show over
Vegas. I watch Sunset Boulevard, and I just chuckle with glee, because that's going to be me when I'm 65 years old.
I've already seen him around the house with the talent.
Max!
Max.
Bring me another cocktail. For someone like me who loves old Hollywood,
I need to go see this show. Really? Yeah.
Why did I not go? I need to go
because I went.
I want to go. I want to see it.
Oh yeah, no.
But you know me, I'll be there smoking a cigarette. That's not how it was. You left out the part where I win the Oscar.
No, but you know, you mentioned Hattie McDaniel. This is sort of like a loosely based sort of Hattie McDaniel.
I suppose it would be. You know,
she becomes really famous from one part,
right? And any minority in Hollywood at that time really had to start. I mean, same thing. You know, Carmen Miranda in a way too.
Oh, yes.
I mean, although she was very successful, she was always pigeonholed as the
crazy lady
with the fruit hat. But I mean, there was an artist. There was a woman. There was an intelligent woman.
There was a really interesting artistic person underneath that fruit hat.
Yes. There usually is, you know. I wish people would see me that way.
I've already pictured you in a fruit hat. I've seen cherries on your head before, don't
you? I'll beg you not to pursue that.
Vera and her best friend Lottie are sort of like the...
Lucy and Ethel.
Black Lucy and Ethel, yes. Yeah. Did I say that?
Were you a fan of I Love Lucy?
Oh, who... I think you'd have to be, killed in this country if you told people you didn't like Lucy and Ethel. I did like Lucy.
You know, Lonnie the theater lady and I visited Lucy's hometown for her 100th birthday. This is Jamestown, New York.
Wow, that's a lot of candles to blow out.
And, Lucy wasn't there.
Oh, wow.
Joan Rivers was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Lonnie
the theater... She's got a lot of candles to blow out, too.
Right. Lonnie the theater lady dressed up as Lucille Ball.
I can see that.
And we participated in the Guinness...
Were you Ethel?
No. We participated in the Guinness World Book of Records was there.
Oh.
And they were looking to set a record
trick to Guinness?
Yeah. They were looking to set a record for the most people... dressed as Lucy Ricardo.
Oh, wow.
At one time, one place, and at one time. And so Jamestown, New York. And they said, now, if you want to be part of this, and you didn't come dressed like Lucy, like Lonnie the theater lady did, they gave you this long t-shirt that went down to your knees that had her polka dot dress printed on it, and a little cardboard hold-up mask with the eyes cut out of Lucy. And according to Guinness World Book of Records, that was the minimum requirement to be considered dressed as Lucy Ricardo. Ricardo. So if you didn't come dressed as her, they gave you that. So I participated in it too.
You wore the t-shirt?
Yes, I still have it. I wear it as like a nightshirt around the house. It's like a nightgown. I feel like, you know.
Do you crush grapes with it?
I feel like Ebenezer Scrooge. Like I should have like a little candle and a nightcap because I've got this like t-shirt down to my knees. But it's like freaking printed with Lucy's polka dot dress. I should go get it.
You crushing grapes with it.
Oh, that episode. I finally just saw that episode.
Or eating lots and lots of chocolates.
All right, we are way off topic here. Way off topic here. Sorry. So, by the way. Meet Vera Stark.
Meet Vera Stark.
Did they actually say that in the show? By the way.
No, you know, I don't believe they do. Okay, but let me tell you this. It was written by a woman named Lynn Nottage. Mm-hmm. It was directed by...
Tomei Cousin.
Tomei Cousin. And they did a fantastic job. I would recommend this play. I liked that it had... It was funny, but it had some meat to it. So that you did leave there going, oh, I never thought of how hard it would be to work in 1930s Hollywood.
Well, like I said, you and I know firsthand how hard it is.
There you go. You there's a bunch of other people I want to mention. True Verrett Fleming played the first love interest. By the way, it was a mixed media show. Oh.
A little decoupage, a little construction paper, a little... Yeah.
Yes. No.
Oh.
Oh, that's not going to help.
I would have liked to have seen that.
No. He played the love interest. They show a film. They show a clip of him. You know, so there's like a couple of film clips intertwined with the story. So it's a whole. It's a big production for the little theater. It's the studio theater, the little one downstairs. Not in the main stage they have over there at Point Park College. So True Verrett Fleming, very fun. Plays two different parts, two wildly different roles. Him and Jeff Howell from the second act. Oh my God, very funny. I did neglect to mention Kelly Trumbull, who is sort of the antagonist. Her best friend, her allegedly white best friend, that treats her like a maid when they work together, and like she hires her on as her maid, and that's how it starts. The play starts with that. But there is a scene with Lottie and Vera that's just... I'm telling you what, you gotta see the scene with Lottie and Vera at the party.
So we can expect to laugh.
Expect big laughs from, by the way, Vera Stark.
Give me the top three reasons. Top three specifics. Top three reasons to see this show.
Madcap comedy. Deeper, darker truth about... old Hollywood system and what it's like to be in a minority. The second reason I would say would be Hollywood history from the point of view of an insider yet outsider. And I would go for the performances. They are terrific, even when they're being over the top. Andy Kirtland plays a like a rock and roll guy that's just also hilarious. He's on the set of the inside the TV show that they're showing clips of. It's complicated, but it's fun. It's really fun. And the first half, madcap comedy, madcap, over the top, zany. How about zany? Let's use the word zany, madcap, but thoughtful, truthful intention about what is going on in the system and how it's still hard for minorities today in a way in Hollywood. If you look at most television shows, there are like black television shows and white television shows. There aren't that many mixed cast ones. The mixed cast ones are usually produced by Tyler Perry. Right? You see more...
I don't watch any TV.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry. Uh-oh. I just got to take your word for it.
Well, I'm not advocating that everyone go see the work of Tyler Perry.
I'm still listening to Fanny Bryce and Fibber McGee on the radio.
On the old radio back
then. This is Jack Benny saying, by the way, meet Vera Stark at the Pittsburgh Playhouse.
You got right. You got that right, boss. You got that right.
Was it Jimmy Durante?
No, I was doing more of like the guy that worked for Jack Benny. What was his name?
Rochester?
Rochester, that's it.
Rochester.
Yeah. Yeah, boss.
I'm thinking it over. I'm thinking about it.
No, he's a black man that worked in Hollywood.
I always thought Jack Benny did the voice of Rochester, but no, I guess...
No, I watched... It became a TV show after that.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a guy, and he played Rochester. I don't have the IMDb handy, but yeah.
Gee, I was only 36 years old at the time.
You go. By the way, meet Vera Stark.
No.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.